Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and today is a live prophecy reality edition. I'm going to look at some news items that I've been collecting throughout the week here, back from a very long summer of editing and studying, and also now writing my third book on prophecy. It's going to be a defense of historicism, an apology for apocalyptic history, and also an apology for the apocalyptic future, because it seems that nobody agrees with me. Very few people. And as many people as are able to hear my voice or will ever hear my voice, it seems like will always be a very, very small minority here that believes in historicism. And then we have the whole, as opposed to futurism, which says that all of the tragic events outlined in the entire book of Revelation are going to happen after a rapture event that comes 7 years before the resurrection. And I don't know, I can't find that in the Bible anywhere, so I've been telling people all about historicism, how actually almost 95% of all of the tragic events that are outlined in the Revelation have already happened in history, and we have a very small amount left to go before Christ returns, not for rapture, but actually for the resurrection, after the tribulation of these days. And that's what the Bible says, that there is no the great tribulation of 7 years. That's a total construct of the Counter-Reformation Jesuit, Francisco Ribera, who invented the end-time Antichrist scenario about 500 years ago. And since then, his foundation for modern futurism was laid, and many others have built upon it, so that we get things like series like Left Behind and the whole futurist scheme of eschatology that has developed over the last, well, almost 200 years. So, and if you want a taste of that, all you have to do is go to my website of what I'm going to be writing about. I did an apology for historicism. There's a series that I did there. So I'm taking all of these things that I've talked about over the last 5 years or so. And these are all new things. They won't be the same things that are in my previous two books. The first one, The Rapture, will be canceled, and the second one, When the Third Temple is Built, but they'll be along the same lines, because I really, really want to attack futurism, but I want to attack it with the truth of historicism. And then on the other side of that coin, the futurists get all excited about a 7 year period in the future that's a fantasy. And they aren't even going to be here when all this happens. They're going to be off at some wedding feast getting trained for the great battle or something, for 7 years or 3.5 years, depending on which camp of futurism you like. But after that event, we have the millennial reign of Christ. Now, the futurists do believe in the millennial reign of Christ, but they never talk about it. That's not their focus. Their focus is the rapture, a made-up fictional event, and a fictional 7 year period that follows it. That seems to be their entire focus in eschatology. And as they claim, they won't even be here when it happens, so I don't know why they're so focused on it. Now, my focus is on history as prophecy fulfilled, and that for the most part, almost 95% of the Revelation, the apocalyptic events there have already been fulfilled. So we have just a few events to fulfill before the seventh millennium begins. Now, everyone knows that we had First Amendment radio here, we're Reformed Protestant historicist. Okay. But we're also pre-millennial, meaning that Christ is going to come back at the beginning of the millennium, meaning that Christ will be here for the millennium. Now, the Reformed Church, the official Reformed Church organizations out there, all believe in amillennialism, that Christ is not going to return, that the entire beginning, say, at chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, they believe that it is all symbolic, that it's not really going to be a millennium, but that the millennium is only symbolic for the era that we've been living in. Because of what Christ did, Satan has been cast into a symbolic prison, and so we can do the gospel work. They can't tell me when this happened, though, when Satan was bound to deceive the nations no more, because it seems to me that the nations are deceived. All we got to do is pay attention to the news. It seems like the nations are deceived more than ever before. As a matter of fact, one of the events that happens before the millennium is there are three spirits that are like frogs that go out and agitate the nations of the earth to get them ready for that great day of the battle of God Almighty when Christ comes to judge the nations of the earth. And that's what the judgment that Jesus is coming in the air, and he's going to come with 10,000s and thousands of his saints, and the earth is going to be judged. The nations of the earth are going to be judged. But the second death and the second resurrection, for those that missed the first resurrection, or those that were born after the first resurrection, will all be resurrected at the end of the millennium. I mean, chapter 20 of the Revelation is plain. Just read it and take it literally when it says 1,000 years. It's talking about the seventh millennium from the creation of mankind. Now, there's been a big movement, and something I love to see that I've seen over the last 20 years is a big movement in creationism and young earth creationism. People are actually believing the Bible is literal on creation, that the creation account is true, and that the biblical chronology is true, meaning that we have a young earth. It's not billions of years old, as the evolutionists and unbelievers would have you believe. But that the Creator, our Creator, our Heavenly Father, did create it all about 6,000 years ago. The chronology you can follow in the scripture. I have a post on my website in case you haven't seen that. And it's called, What Year Is It? So if you go to my website, crosstheborder.org, you'll see I have six postings at the top there. And in the lower right-hand corner of your opening screen, you'll see What Year Is It? And I follow chronology there that comes straight out of the Bible. And if you open that up, you'll see every verse, chapter and verse listed so that you can open it up for yourself, look in the Bible for yourself, verify it for yourself. And then there's a whole answer or a whole comment section after that. And, you know, I thank God for the listeners that helped me in the years that I was, let me open that up here. So, open link in new tab. There we go. What year is it? And you'll see that there are 99 comments there at the bottom. And you can see that right under the title. It says 99 comments. If you click on that, it'll take you down to the comments. And most of them are on the topic. Some of them are not. Some are just questions. So if you go through the questions, there's quite an education there. And you can see that we, any questions that you can think of have been asked there and commented on and answered. And a lot of the answers are in the text itself, but people seem to miss things when they're reading. So make sure you look at that, share it. There's a share button at the top there. So I would hope that people would share it, or there's a share button somewhere. I guess it's not at the top. Must be at the bottom then. I guess you have to go all the way to the bottom to share that. So I'd appreciate people if they would share that. Where do you share that at? Must be where the comments begin then. There's a lot of comments. Wow, there are a lot of comments. 99 of them. Yeah, there's more comments than there are posts. Oh yeah, it's at the top, right before the comments begin. Scroll up a little bit, and you'll see the share buttons there. So appreciate that if people share. I can come to no conclusion, but that prophecy reality and First Amendment radio are shadow banned on the internet and in search engines. I think if you put the name in First Amendment, you won't see us. If you put First Amendment radio, you might see us in some, things there. But, as far as new articles and stuff, I can come to no other conclusion than that we've been shadow banned, because we were growing really well at first. It's like when I put my prophecy reality, YouTube channel up for the first time and just started broadcasting this program. I was growing by, 90, to 100 subscribers a month. And now I have negative growth on my prophecy reality. Some months I'll have 2 or 3, and some months I'll have -1 or 2. And, you look at it, and if I look at my dashboard there, and it says -2 right now as far as subscribers. So that's how many subscribers I've gained in the last week. That means I've lost 2 subscribers. So I'm going, there's something wrong with when something is growing exponentially, when it starts out, why does it suddenly, I hope that I'm becoming better at this. Okay. And not worse. Now, admittedly, I took most of the summer off. I only did 4 programs during the summer, but I take every summer off for the most part, simply because my studio is too hot to do a live program in. So that's nothing new. But now I'm pretty sure that I'm shadow banned on YouTube, that my stuff does not show up, in the suggested videos things, unless you get really close or somehow their algorithm misses it and allows it in. I really don't know how it works, but I do know how computers work, and I know what algorithms are. And if they put my channel or First Amendment Radio in a Google search to be omitted by Google searches, that for the most part, they will be omitted. So our exponential growth, which we experienced at the onset, has now become negative growth. It's kind of like negative interest rates, right? We're losing. And it can be somewhat depressing, to say the least, to have to have very little growth. So I have to rely solely on my Heavenly Father to support me, because the fact is, if you know me and you know the program I did last week, you know that I'm not a socialist. As a matter of fact, I am a protester, a protestant against the Antichrist socialist government that rules the world. So I am not numbered socialist. I have repented of past participation, because when I was a child, someone signed me up, of course. And then when I became aware and awake, I read the Bible and decided that, hey, the Bible says that socialism is a sin. It is corporate theft. It is covetousness. And I cannot, in all good conscience, participate in it. And, you know, I read further in the Bible where Jesus wrote, seek ye first, or make the kingdom of God and his righteousness the primary focus of your life. Yes, seek ye first. Give the kingdom of God and his righteousness first place in your life. That's what it means. That's the meaning I get out of it. And then all these things will be added to you. And of course, these things are the antecedent necessities of life that you read in the scripture, in the context there. So God will take care of me. His word says he will, if I make his kingdom and his righteousness the primary focus of my life. Now, that's not an easy thing to do, because here I am, a man, you know, a son of Adam with a fallen nature. So it's an everyday struggle, as all of us who are reformed in thought and reformed in our religion and our belief and our practice. In other words, we're true Bible-believing Christians. We know it's difficult. We know what we are. We aren't over there praying like Jesus drew the example of the one guy was praying and the Pharisee was over there praying. Thank God I'm not like that sinner over there. Right? And the sinner over there said, he said, that was the righteous one. He said, have mercy on me. That sinner over there that the Pharisee thought he was so much better than. He said, which one will be justified? Well, it was that sinner over there said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, because I know what I am. And Jesus said, I know what's in the heart of man. The heart of man is continually wicked and deceitful. And if we don't know that about our own hearts, then we are deceived and deluded, and it's unlikely we'll be saved, even if we falsely believe we are. We'll be like that self-righteous Pharisee who compares himself to what he thinks are lesser people. And when there's plenty of evil people out there, if you really want to be self-righteous, that you can compare yourself to, like, you know, Adolf Hitler and Jeffrey Dahmer and whoever, you know. I mean, if you're a liberal, it'll be Trump. If you're a Republican, it'll be Obama. And these are all wicked people. You know, some of them are worse than me. And maybe I'm just as bad as some of them. I don't know. You know, only God can make that judgment on their hearts. But some of them, you know, it's pretty obvious that there's, you know, hope that it's just hopeless at the moment anyway. But hey, God can reach anybody. There may even be hope for Benny Hinn. How many of you heard the news about Benny Hinn? Well, I've listened to him. I'm not quite convinced. He's kind of saying some of the right things, but we'll see how it pans out in the end. You know, I only hope, and I do pray for him, that his repentance is genuine, his repentance. But now he needs to get reformed theologically. He's still kind of out there, you know, on the sea without a rudder. You know, so what? He discovered something was wrong with the way he was operating. But, you know, he needs to discover what's right. He needs to get back to that primitive Christianity. Well, he has the Word of God. So, hopefully he can make it back to the safe shore or the anchor of Christ, or however you want to put it. Benny Hinn Incorporated. Yeah. He's mouthing off lately, saying that what he's been doing is wrong. So, and if someone can admit they're wrong and exercise some repentance, I can't see that being anything but a good thing. So we hope so. So pray for Benny Hinn. You know, pray for evil men. I mean, I pray for you know, Donald Trump. His history is much more notoriously evil than mine will ever be, you know. So, you know, I hope that, you know, that he is a genuine person. And he seems to be genuine. I think he really wants to do the right thing out there. I think he really wants to, make America great again in his own way, in the way it used to be great, you know, to bring our jobs back home and, you know, so we can produce our own stuff and be self-sufficient like we used to be. All those things are a little closer to the way the kingdom of God should run. But, you know, still then he holds on to things like homosexuality and all that nonsense. You know, he wants, you know, rights for those people. I want everyone, whether they're homosexuals, murderers, adulterers, thieves, I want everyone to have equal rights. But I don't want people to have special rights, especially if they're wicked, you know, because you're out there, you know, with your wicked pride and having pride in your wickedness, you should have special rights. No, everyone should have the same rights. And, if in the governments of men, I mean, that's about as good as it gets. But speaking of the future, we do have a government that's coming. And, it'll be nothing like the governments of men. As a matter of fact, that's the second part of my apology. The book I'm writing is going to be about the millennium. I'm going to write, and I did a series on that. It's called, I called it Alien Invasion Series, where I talk about Christ coming back because, you know, we are strangers and we are aliens if we belong to Christ. Our kingdom is not of this world, so we are aliens. And of course, Christ, our king, even though he created this world, and it belongs to him, and he's the king of everything, the king of creation, he's still an alien here in the world. He's an alien to the world. That's why when he comes, the world's not going to receive him. And the first problem with the world receiving him is that everybody that will receive him has already received him, and they will all be with him when he returns. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping I can live that long. I might make it, and I might not. Only time will tell. Okay, well, there's our signal for a break that's coming up. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. Tell someone this broadcast is going on right now. Call someone, email them, send them a link. And I'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. And let me check the chat room, see if we got any questions or comments there. Anything to see? Blessed said, historicism unlocks prophecy. It blows where it listeth. Yeah, Americans don't know that America is the earth beast. Of course not. That isn't part of futurism. What else do we got here? Nothing really. Nothing new. Any comments, questions? Someone did ask a question earlier in the chat room. This person's still in the chat room, but looks like they were in here, how many hours ago was that? Like 15 hours ago, and they're still in here. He says, is Tom off air? Is he coming back? Well, Tom is on air. We're rerunning his series on the Ark and the Dove right now. So hope everyone's enjoying that. I am. A lot less people are enjoying it than usually enjoy his stuff because it's, you have to listen to it. It's quite eye-opening. And if he doesn't come back when we're done with that, we're going to rerun the Code Word Barbalon series. So hope everyone will enjoy that. And these are series that were like 10 years old. So there's plenty out there. I don't know if Tom will be coming back. That's up to him. If he wants to come back, it was up to him to leave. And anyway, but we have a lot of good stuff there that you probably haven't heard yet, this person in the chat room. So enjoy it. I mean, we have 15 years or at least 10 years worth of audio that if Tom has moved on to other things or doesn't want to do it anymore for whatever reasons, well, that's up to him. But, you know, I can't say this. Pray for him. Pray for all of us here at First Amendment Radio, which is mostly me. My daughter helps me out a little bit, but it really isn't her passion like it is mine. There's no one else here passionate about the work I'm doing, except for me and very few people that have, supported, faithfully supported First Amendment Radio and for many years. And like when I say very few, that's what I mean. Very few. Most of you probably get more on your Social Security welfare to support yourself every month than I do or my family here. Yeah. But hey, the way things are going, we have an article about that. Let's see. This is the article. We talked a little bit about this article. The dollar is too dominant and could be replaced by a digital currency. And this was Mark Carney, Bank of England governor, says stockpiling dollars has become a barrier to global trade. And I guess people are stockpiling dollars. And that's one reason why gold hasn't gone up in America, is because of the confidence in the dollar worldwide and in America. We have confidence in our fiat usury money here in America. And so gold hasn't gone up here where it's already 1,800 or 2,000 comparable dollars just about everywhere else in the world. Here, the gold has only gone up to 1,500. So it will catch up. And this is the first time it's been like this, where it's been off kilter with the rest of the world. But like I said, that's because but confidence is falling in the dollar around the world. And with an article like this from our Bank of England governor, yeah, that may be one reason why gold has gone up. And another reason is negative interest rates. Another reason why gold would go up would be because of inflation, and negative interest rates are kind of the same thing, because you can only have those things on fiat usury money. On real substance, you know, you're talking about now commodity. The value can fluctuate, but it can never disappear. It will always be. An ounce of gold will always be an ounce of gold, and it will always be worth an ounce of gold. A dollar, you can't say, well, it will always be worth a dollar, because what will a dollar always be worth? We don't know. That's the problem. And really what this is leading up to, if I put this article on the screen here for those of you watching. There we go. Really what this article is leading up to is, well, what's coming and what the Bible says is coming in Revelation chapter 13. And that is a digital worldwide currency. The dollar could be replaced by digital currency. In other words, this is a warning. And I can pretty much guarantee you that it will be replaced, because that's the only, now in the world, this is the only choice they have. They've already got fiat usury money over the whole world. Okay. Now all they need to do is make it level over the whole world, get the whole world using the same money. And that's what the Antichrist wants. This will be the final solution, monetarily speaking. And I believe this is the final solution that the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 13. And no, I'm sorry, all you rapture believers out there, you will not be raptured when it happens. You will be here for the last 7 years, because there is no the great tribulation that's 7 years in the Bible anywhere. You have to conjecture that out of unrelated scriptures. You have to say, well, look, here's 1260 days here. Here's 3.5 years here. If we put them together, it's 7 years, you know, and then if we make that the great tribulation, even though that's not explicitly stated anywhere in the scripture, then that's how they do it. They take pieces from the Bible. You know, it's like I tell people, you know, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say if you start removing scriptures and shuffling them around and rearranging them to fit your scenario. It's just like you can write a whole book. You can use someone else's book. You can use another book, use all of the words in another book to write anything you want, to say anything you want. But because your words were in another book doesn't validate the work you've done. And of course, I'm talking about the dictionary. You know, if I write a book like, you know, the rapture will be canceled. You know, if I write a book, like, you know, I got all these words out of the dictionary. And some of the words in here I got out of the Bible, because I quote the Bible a lot in my books. Okay? And if I, but if I take those things out of context, the, what I took out of the Bible, then they don't validate my work. Only if I take them in context, and the Bible explicitly tells you, states what I'm saying that it states, then the Bible validates my work. But the dictionary doesn't validate my work, and that's the way the futurists use the Bible. You know, they have some truth in there that lends no credibility to their thesis, their futurist thesis. The rest of it is just words and conjecture. None of it explicitly stated in the Bible. So the Bible doesn't really validate, just because they're copying scriptures out of the Bible and getting it to state something, and stating something that the Bible doesn't explicitly state by juxtaposing and rearranging verses. The Bible doesn't validate any more than the dictionary validates any other book, simply because we're using words that are in the dictionary. So, and that's what futurism does. And besides that, you know, the futurists have to admit that their entire scenario is only speculation. It is nothing else. They can't verify something that hasn't happened, can they? I mean, how do you verify something that hasn't happened? It's only speculation. So unless the Bible explicitly says something's going to happen, then we can pretty much say that it's only speculation. You might be right, but you're probably wrong. Now we get to chapter 20 of the Revelation. And the Revelation explicitly says that there will be a millennium. There's a resurrection. The first resurrection will happen at the beginning of the millennium. And that there will be a second resurrection and a second death at the end of that millennium. And this is all in chapter 20. Now the argument between the historicist and the amillennialist, the premillennial historicist, and the amillennialist is that whether when the Bible says 1,000 years, does it mean 1,000 years, or is it only figurative? Is 1,000 years just mean a big period of time? And then it becomes speculative. If it's now only a symbol, if it doesn't really mean what it says, then you have to speculate about what it means. So they turn something that's literal into a speculation. So the second part of my book, the second half of my book, is going to be an apology for the premillennial appearance of Christ. And that is not a dispensational futurist premillennial eschatology. Although if they would have to agree on a lot of the same things. And so I just want, what does the scripture explicitly say? And what can the scripture support and tell us about that era that we'll be living in called the millennial reign of Christ? Because it's coming real soon. That's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in some fantasy rapture and a 3.5 or 7 year period that's where I'm not going to be here. That's not my focus. And all of the people, when Christ actually does come at the resurrection event, and all the rapturists are sitting around waiting and wonder what happened to the rapture, and Christ comes, some of those people that believed in futurism are going to be caught up with all of us who just believed in the resurrection and did not believe in the rapture. And we're going to be caught up with people who never even knew there was a debate. That was like before 200 years ago. Really before 500 years ago, but the whole scenario did not get cemented and fully developed until really the last 50 or so years, where they started with people like Chuck Missler and the late great Planet Earth, and the whole Rapture series, Left Behind series, that's what they call it, the whole Left Behind fantasy. You know, you'll find a little thing on every single one of those books, you'll find on the back cover at the bottom, it says fiction. Yeah, believe it. When it tells you it's fiction, believe it, because that's all it is fiction. You might as well be watching some science fiction on television or reading some other fiction book, because that's all it is. It's deceptive because Christians believe this stuff because they've been deluded by the Counter-Reformation Jesuit eschatology that has been taught in all of the seminaries, yes, by the Antichrist shadow government that rules the world. And, you know, it's true. The Antichrist is alive and well, has been alive and well for how many years now? 1260, 1360, 1400 years. Yeah, about 1400 years. The Antichrist has been alive and well on the earth, in the seat of the papacy. He is that man of sin that sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And you know, when Paul wrote that in 2 Thessalonians, you know, if you read through Paul's epistles, everything prior to that and even after that point about the temple of God, you know, where the Antichrist sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And Paul teaches us over and over and over again that we are the temple of God. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? The church is the temple of God. The people, we are his temple. And if the man of sin sits in the temple of God, that means he takes the place of God in the hearts and minds of people in the visible church on earth. And that is the truth. And he is the head of a great apostasy. In context, in 2 Thessalonians there, the man of sin who sits in the temple of God is the head of a great apostasy. And you know what? His apostasy is still the greatest one on the earth. What, nearly, probably exceeding 2 billion strong now. Of the 7 billion people on earth, 2 billion people are adherents to the Antichrist church, where the man of sin sits in their hearts and in their minds, taking the place of God. And he does rule the world through his Jesuit army. Look at the history of the Jesuits. I did a series here, you know, and I took it right out of J.A. Wiley's book. The shadow government that rules the world for the Antichrist. Something like that. You can look that up on my website. Just go back to crosstheborder.org there and scroll back, or put in shadow government and go through that series. And, you know, and I spent the summer, and now I'm starting to write again, but I read the J.A. Wiley's History of Protestantism, 3 volumes, about 600 and whatever pages each. What a read. You read something like that, it will change your life. And, you know, what I saw in volume 3, during the era of the Jesuits, it starts really in volume 2, where the Jesuits develop and start their intrigue throughout the earth. And man, when you read, you know, especially in volume 3, what they did in Western Europe and England and France and Spain and the Netherlands and the 30-year war in Germany and on, the intrigue after intrigue and country and country, just the Antichrist grasping and killing and murdering hundreds of millions of people. And yes, hundreds of millions is no exaggeration. It is history. It's no wonder they don't teach this in the public schools. And that just goes to show you why they don't teach history in public schools. Because the Antichrist, who rules the world and gets to governs what your children get to learn in your public fool system, does not want you to know history. Because if you knew history, you would know who he is, who his shadow government is, and what murdering, tyrannical, evil people they are. And I'm not talking about Catholics. I'm talking about, yes, the hierarchy, the Antichrist and his shadow government operatives in the world, that they would do anything. Kill as many people as they can to govern the world. And they have done it, and they continue to do it today. They own the money. That's right. The Bible says it. I mean, come on. Wake up, all you futurists out there. You think that the Antichrist is going to show up in the last 7 years and take over the monetary system and force everyone to receive a mark to buy and sell. And the Antichrist is somehow going to control the money of the world. Well, I'm telling you, the Bible is true. That has already happened. We just haven't got to. That's what we're talking about with this article here. We're going to get to the final stage of his monetary plan. And I've been practicing for 25 years living without a government identification that is required to buy and sell. It's called the Social Security number in America. But every country has one now because the Antichrist and his shadow government has got their fiat usury banking system into every country now. Every country in the world. I don't know what they're doing over there in North Korea. They probably have their own, you know, fiat usury money there, because I don't think they're using silver and gold coins over there. Okay? Excuse me. So, Satan's monetary system becoming one digital currency. And digital currency is like the epitome of fiat. I mean, you don't even have a paper fiat note anymore that you can hold in your hand. So it's the epitome. And that's what I wrote in my 2014 book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled, in the chapter there on the mark of the beast, that it is the epitome. If you haven't read that book, you can read it for free. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and click on the free ebook tab there and read chapter 12 of that book on the mark of the beast. And I said all these things many, many years ago. I was saying the things before I wrote them in the book. As a matter of fact, that book sprang out of articles. Each chapter was an article that I wrote on my blog. That's what it was. So you can look up a lot of those chapters on my blog. Or like I said, you can just get the book in a EPUB or PDF form. So you get the PDF and EPUB, you get all the color photos and everything. It's beautiful. It's like looking at the internet. Well, you know about PDFs if you've seen those on the web. It's a really beautiful piece of work. So as far as the presentation. And my What Year Is It? The best rendering of that is on my website in the article there. Well, if you go to the top of my website there, across the border, I highlight six postings there because, well, that's how you can fit on an opening screen. And those six posts are The Beast Powers Apocalyptic Scripture. It helps you understand, break away from the futurist train of thought and see what, and understand what the prophecy, what the apocalyptic beasts really are. So you know what you're reading when you read the Revelation. Historicism Explained. And this is really the genesis of the first part of my book is a defense of Reformed premillennial eschatology, or even historicism over futurism mainly. Okay. And then the alien invasion. These two would sum up, only I hope to go a lot more in depth in the book than I could in these articles. So chapter 24 explained for the futurists who read it, can't understand it, so they need a dispensational futurist prophecy pundit to explain it to them. Well, they're explaining it to you all wrong, so I hope I got it right. But I think, you know, if you read it plainly and you use it, interpret the text correctly, I believe you'll see it. So take advantage of all those articles there. When you click on them and you open one up, say The Empire of the City or What Year Is It, make sure you share those articles. Because if you go down, say click on the comments there, scroll up just a little bit, you'll see the share buttons there. And this should be shared a lot more than 200. It should be 200,000 or so. It's only by the power of the articles I've got that far, you know, being shadow banned on the, as I'm sure that the Antichrist and all of his proponents out there that own Google and YouTube and all of them, they hate Protestantism. The Antichrist hates true Protestant Reformed thought and especially Protestant eschatology even more than Reformed, because he doesn't really fear Reformed thought anymore. Because most people are blind to it, so very few are going to see it. And most people that are going to see Reformed or primitive Christianity are going to see it in their Bibles anyway. So he doesn't really fear that. But Reformed eschatology, because most of the Reformed church simply is not historicist. They're kind of willy-nilly out there with their amillennialism. They're already in their millennium. And they don't even identify the papacy as the seat of the Antichrist anymore. Very few of them do. A few of them do. Some of them just see the Catholic Church as an apostate. So some of them see that, but then they drop the ball and there's no protest left in them. And so maybe the Pope did rightly say the protest is over. I'll be back.
The book of Revelation says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Listen Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition, and we're just discussing a few things today. No agenda except for the truth. And the most important thing is, as you see there on the screen if you're watching, or the name of my broadcast is Across the Border, and this is our Prophecy Reality Edition. But what I mean by Across the Border is, well, the gospel. The kingdom of God is a reality. And Jesus said when he was preaching, he went about preaching saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when you repent, you enter into the kingdom of God through repentance, through true repentance. And that is the first work of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes into your life and gives you new life in Christ, you have crossed the border into his kingdom. And we want to stay there forever. I want to stay there forever. And it's the only kingdom that will transcend the grave. No other kingdom. All of these other kingdoms out there, America, Russia, whatever the best nations that have ever been on earth, none of them transcends the grave. And also, when Christ comes, we've been talking about the return of Christ and his millennial reign. when that alien invasion comes. I'm going to be one of those aliens because I'm already a stranger in this world. I'm already in the world and not of it because I am a citizen of his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And when he returns, he's going to change us. First, the dead in Christ will be raised, as the scripture says. And then we, who are alive and remain, will be changed along with the dead who are raised. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's all going to happen very fast. And we will be with him when he returns. Just like that. We ain't going to go away for 7 years. I'm sorry. That's a total construct of dispensational futurism. You can't find that in the Bible. See, chat room dude says, I like the rapture. Well, I liked the rapture too. And probably most people who call themselves Christians, especially in America, they like the rapture too. And here's the problem. Here's another problem. When you read history, when you read true history, you realize there is no escape. I mean, what about those hundreds of millions of people? I mean, it was terrible. I mean, it doesn't matter what you imagine about all of the apocalyptic events that have happened over the last 2,000 years. Even if they never happen and you put them into a 7-year period, then you have your rapture, great tribulation period. But when you read history, you realize those people didn't have a rapture. God has not appointed us to wrath, but Christians in the past, he did appoint to wrath. Now see, your thinking is wrong. Okay? When tribulation comes on the earth, and Jesus said, we will have tribulation. You will have tribulation. When tribulation comes, it's tribulation to us, but it's judgment to the world because they're already condemned. Okay. So it's not wrath. It is tribulation. Because here, the whole thing is, wrath is an eternal punishment. The wrath of God is on all the ungodly. You know, if they repent, they can escape the wrath. But it doesn't mean that they won't feel it before they repent. The real wrath of God, the real punishment of God, is dying in your sin, paying the price for your own sin. See, our wrath, if we are covered by the blood of Christ, if we are in his kingdom, because everyone who is in his kingdom is covered by his blood. We belong to him. He paid for us with his own blood. So God's wrath will never touch us. We may have tribulation. We may suffer horribly, like hundreds of millions have suffered in the past. We don't get an escape card. We don't get a free ride ticket, you know, so that we don't. I mean, first they have to get you to believe that all of that wrath that happened in the past is going to happen in this era. So therefore, God is not going to expect you to live through that. But when you read real history, you realize, wow. These people suffered. It was awful. It was terrible. I would never want to go through the things that they went through. The things they had to watch their family be murdered or raped or tortured and stand yet. And some didn't stand. Some fell back. And then they came back. They repented of their recantation. 'Cause we are weak. I don't know. I mean, I would have to go through what these people went through in history, who suffered great, great tribulation that I can only barely imagine, because I've never suffered anything like that. To think that somehow that could not happen to me, I can't accept that now. Now that I know history, there was no rapture for those people. There's no rapture for me. I may suffer death. Because Revelation chapter 13, you know, we've been talking about that. We've been talking about how the Antichrist is going to kill people for not receiving or recanting or refusing the mark of the beast. That one world monetary system that's coming, when he finally gets what he really wants, to control all of the money of the world. Okay? And to think, when I read history, now I know that this can happen to me. I may be called upon to suffer for Christ. And I will stand just like those that I've read about in history, because I will be standing on the promises of God, and I will be standing in the strength that only His Holy Spirit can give me. Whatever, it doesn't matter what happens to me. The only thing that matters is what I can't get in this life. What I have beyond the grave. That's what matters. Nothing in this life. I see people living for this life, calling themselves Christians, and they're after every experience for their children and themselves and all of the good things that this life has to offer. I would rather suffer want. I can understand why God would allow me to live on little, to not be popular, to learn how to live with very little money, to not give me riches. Maybe I could not stand riches. Maybe it would corrupt me like Benny Hinn and every other rich person out there. Maybe fame would corrupt me as it corrupts all of those famous people out there that all think too highly of themselves. They're only men and money is only money. But they're corrupted by the deceitfulness of riches. So I want to be able to stand. So I would rather that God withhold those things from me. He's taking care of me. I have food. You know, like David said, I've never seen the righteous go hungry or begging for bread. So I'll run with that. I would rather suffer want, though, than sign up for socialism, for corporate theft and covetousness. And these are the things, you know, to live your life and say with the psalmist, I shall not want. That means that you're happy no matter what, no matter how little. I shall not want. That's a declaration. That's how I want to live my life. I shall not want. Oh, it's easy for us to want. We always think of the things that we would like to do, the things we'd like to improve, and the things we would want, we would like to have for us, for our children. But then we have to say, well, I shall not want. I'm content with what I have. Even though I'd like more, I will be content. You know, Paul said it too, that I will be content with what I have. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's leading me. What I have is fine. It's enough. It's more than I need. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I shall not want, because it is want that the enemy uses to get you to fall into his temptation for socialism, theft, covetous, corporate covetous. Oh, you could have a better life. And people think nothing of it. It's, oh, well, I'm just, they're going to give it to me. I'm going to take it. But there's nothing free out there. Somebody worked for that. For someone produced what you're consuming. It took their labor. So we need to work. And if you work in God's kingdom, I'll tell you what, and you're really dedicated to God's kingdom, there is always work to do. As a matter of fact, there's no end to work. I could work from sun up to sundown. Since I'm not working for money, I'm not working for an hourly wage, I have to work in His kingdom and sow in His kingdom. It's like sowing seed. You go out and sow seed in the ground, you don't get paid for it. You know, the plant might grow up and someone else might harvest it and eat it. You know, because you're not sowing in your field, you're sowing in his field. You're just sowing in the world. Some of it may go to waste. Someone may steal from your the product of your labor. But it doesn't matter because you're not looking to the world. You're not looking to money. You're not looking to wages or the power of your own labor. You're looking only to him and believing his word when he said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. Make my kingdom and my righteousness the primary focus of your life, and I'll take care of you. And believe that. And I believed it. He's taken care of me for 20 years. It's gotten harder, actually. It hasn't got easier. Well, as it gets easier, because I've increased my faith and I've had more experience in living, you know, and relying upon him solely. At the same time, the world is taking stuff away from me because I don't have the number. You know, so I've been telling you, I'd like to fly on an airplane. I can't fly on an airplane, even domestically, because no one will give me, now they won't accept the identification I have. I have to have the new ID. So I can't fly anymore. Well, that's fine. Okay. I'll stay where I'm at and I'll keep sowing in God's kingdom. I'll keep doing the work that I'm doing, for a little notoriety. I just have to believe that it's good enough and it's what he wants me to do. And that's really the key for me, is just to be obedient every day and do what he wants me to do. And stop looking for reward in this life. Because reward can be money. Reward can be notoriety. Reward can be going viral on a video. Or how many likes. Or how many views your videos get. Or how many people show up. Or how many people actually send you money to support you. Those are the rewards this world has to offer. And I just say, well, okay, well, I can't look at that. It's going to be enough. God is going to provide for me. And if he doesn't, then that's enough too. If I have to live in want, at least I'll be living for him. And if I have to die, then I will be dying for him. Because my real reward is beyond the grave. Store not for yourself treasure on this earth, but store it up in heaven. Store it up in his kingdom. Store it up in eternity, where neither moth nor rust can corrupt, neither can the government with their jackboots break through and steal to distribute to your covetous neighbors. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So my heart is not here. It's not in this life. It's not even on this side of the grave. I have to tell you, my heart is here quite a bit. My heart is here for you. My heart is here for my children, my grandchildren, and all the people I love. That's where my heart is in this life. And those that don't make it, I'm not staying behind for them. I'm not staying behind for those that do not want to repent, those that can't fix their eye on the true prize. I can't give up the prize because others don't value it. I can't say because, you know, my uncle or my brother or my mother or my daughter don't see it and they're after the things of this life. And boy, look at their living large. I can't say, well, if they're not coming, I'm not coming. I could say, I want them to come. I want them to obtain eternal life, but they're too much in love with the things of this world. They love the creation more than they love the Creator. Keep your eye fixed on the prize and that is eternal life through Christ Jesus, then we will have everything. That's why I want to write about the future, the true future that we do have, which very few, not enough people have written about it. It's not a focus enough. These idiot, you know, no offense intended, idiot dispensational futurists, all their focus is on a 7-year period that doesn't even exist. Now, if they were going to write the truth, they'd write the truth about the resurrection and what we have to look forward in that and then beyond. That's what we keep our eyes on. That was the resurrection of the dead that Paul was talking about when he went and he pitted the Pharisees against the Sadducees. It was the resurrection that his fathers, that the patriarchs of Israel were after. It was the resurrection of the dead through the seed of the woman that Adam and Eve clung to, even when they lost their chosen son, Abel. When Seth was born, they said, God has given us a man. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord, because the seed line, the seed of the woman, would come through Seth. It was eternal life that their high priest promised them when he clothed them with the animal skins and told them about the seed of the woman, the Messiah to come, the one that would pay the price for their sins, through whom they would get eternal life by faith. Nothing has changed, except we're on this side of the resurrection. They were on the other side. They were before the resurrection of Christ. We're after the resurrection. We saw the evidence. They believed by faith. And we still haven't seen. You know, like Jesus said, blessed are those, when he was speaking to Thomas there, said, blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen. But by faith, I've already seen it. God has shown it to me. He has revealed those things to us by faith. They're more real than anything this life has to offer, because I know everything. I mean, this life is full of labor and it's wearisome. You get nice stuff and it falls apart and you have to clean the dust off it and wash it and cobwebs, and it just kind of wants to go back into the earth and be dirt again. No, it won't be like that in the new heaven and new earth. It'll be a lot better in 1,000 years. But in new heaven, new earth, I mean, I don't think there's going to be any dirt or dust, or, you know, it's going to be all light. You know, that's another 1,000 years off. 1,000 years is going to be, it's going to be different than now, because Christ will be reigning and ruling upon the earth, and we will be his kings and priests for him in his earth as he rules for 1,000 years. And there will be mortals being born and dying in that time. And those that accept Christ and by faith during that millennium of the mortals, and if they die before the end of the millennium, then they will be raised at the second resurrection. But they will not experience the second death if they're of the seed of faith. But those that are not of the seed of faith, well, they're going to gather for a final battle. It's not really going to be a battle. It's going to enter into their hearts when Satan's loosed out of his prison. It's going to be entered into their hearts so they can conquer Jesus in Jerusalem and his kingdom and his government. They're going to believe that they can actually conquer, like they're going to believe her now. Like when he returns, Christ is going to come and all of us are going to be with him, and we're going to be opposing the whole unbelieving world, because there's not going to be any believers left. All the believers are going to be on Jesus' side instantly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be with him. There's not going to be any questions. We're going to be going, looking around going, what are we doing here? We're going to know why we're there. and what we're there for. And there's only going to be one thing that's going to be offered to the kingdoms of this world. Surrender. Okay? Surrender. Jesus is going to offer them surrender. And of course, they will not surrender. Surrender will not be in them. So they're going to gather themselves for that battle of the great day of God Almighty. And they're going to get it together, and they're going to get all their stuff together. And they're going to bring it all over to that battlefield of Armageddon. Or they're going to send news, whatever they're going to do. You know how the world is. They're going to have meetings, and they're going to meet at the UN, and they're going to, NATO's going to meet, and they're all going to get together against this alien threat. Jesus and his followers who have suddenly appeared on the scene. And they're going to think in their minds, it's going to enter into their hearts that they can destroy this alien invader who claims to own the world, to be Jesus the King. The Antichrist will be up there going, oh, this guy, he's not the one. Because the Antichrist is going to be at the head of them if he's there. You know, and his armies, the beast and all of its powers are going to be there. And they're just going to be completely wiped out, easily done away with. You can read about it for yourself in the Revelation. Okay, well, we got one more segment coming up. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition, and we'll I'll look at the, maybe some questions or comments in the chat room would be helpful. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind Rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the Revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left-behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com or Nicholas Arthur. How's that? I forget. But anyway, it's crosstheborder.org if someday I'm not able to. It's nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. That's the direct address, because it could happen where I may let crosstheborder.org lapse. Let's say if I need a mark of the beast to keep it up, maybe the .wordpress.com site will still stay up there because I don't have to pay for it. I just have to pay for the no commercials on it, so that's not very much. Anyway, go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and make sure you check out those top articles there and share them. I have really no other way, being shadow banned, I guess, because it seems to me that more people would be interested in some of the things I've written than are interested. Instead of 200 shares, I should have 2,000 or 200,000 shares. But then, you know, I might be able to actually afford to go further. That I'm going, as far as getting out there. It doesn't matter. God doesn't need me to do anything. That's all I know, is that whatever God wants to accomplish, whatever Heavenly Father wants to accomplish, is going to be accomplished. I'm just privileged and honored, in any way I can use Him. And you know what? I have to say, I can't complain. I do want to be used. I do want to work for the Heavenly Father, but then He has, you know, hundreds of millions of people out there that are working very hard, and some of them just give. They give, you know, let's say we barely live on $1,000 or $1,200 a month here, maybe, if we're lucky. So as you know, like, I can't, it's difficult for me to give more than a tenth away to ministry work. But I certainly can't give, 50% or 75% of what I make away. And I would if I could. I mean, if I was earning $100,000 a year, I could give most of that away because I don't need it. You know, it would be, I would love to give a lot more. But when you make so little, it's harder to give a bigger portion. And I like to give more than a tenth, at least, of what little I have to ministry work. So it's not easy. And that's the way it works. When I did have more, I gave more. That's all there is to it. I gave more than a tenth. I mean, if I was earning, you know, $5,000 a month, I could give a couple thousand a month away easily, because I could easily live on $3,000 a month. Yeah, for me, that would be easy, because I've learned to live on little. And that's one thing about, being satisfied and not wanting, or being content and learning to live on little, is that you can do it. It's something that you have to learn, and you have to it has to be a goal. I mean, because it used to be a lot more expensive for me to live than it is now. Even though prices are going up, my cost of living has gone down. Maybe my cost for things that are the necessities of life have gone up, but the major costs have gone down. So that's something, if it comes, push comes to shove, when they have the full mark on Mark of the Beast system and I can't even get on the internet and all of my my server space goes away or what, however that happens, because I think that's going to happen. To even get on the internet, you're going to have some kind of Mark of the Beast in the future to be able to participate in any kind of commerce, or because commerce is something like YouTube, you know, because you're out there. Your the ability to reach people is a commerce of a sort, because it puts you in touch with people who can actually support you. I believe that eventually that's all going to go away for anyone who doesn't have a mark, is even going to be off the internet. So who's going to be off? Well, true radicals and true believers. Yeah. True people who are truly radical and true believers are going to be off the internet. And they're going to be out of commerce altogether. They're not going to be able to use digital money, because they're going to see. Finally, I think that's the point. That's the point where all of the elect are going to have to withdraw. See, I've withdrawn sooner, you know, perhaps than I had to, but because, you know, I believe that it has a lot to do with belief. I mean, people that don't believe, that they don't understand that participating in socialism is covetousness and it's against God's law. It violates his commandments. It's outside of his kingdom. But they're innocently, because a lot of them signed up as children, don't even realize what they're doing, and that what they're doing is wrong by participating and paying into it. You know, especially if you can, if it's voluntary. Most people, you ask them in America, if you ask them if Social Security is voluntary and mandatory, most of them believe it's mandatory. But it is not mandatory. But the problem is, if you choose not to participate, you actually start losing rights. And those rights have been incrementally taken away and converted into privileges only for those who participate in socialism. And that's why, where, you know, 10 years ago I could get on an airplane, now I can't. And that just changed a few years ago, because I can't get in. I can't, if I go to the airport, I can't go through the security there. Like I say, they can x-ray me, they can pat me down, take off my shoes and x-ray them, you know, still, I'm somehow a threat, and I can't get near a plane, let alone get on one. You know, there's something wrong with the logic there. It just doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, what do they think? I've got a box cutter that they missed or something, and I'm going to hijack a plane? I mean, really, where's the logic that after they do all that, see? So that shows you that is not what it's about. It's not about terrorism and hijacking planes. Because if they strip me down naked and make me take off my shoes and they pat me down, they go through all my luggage so that I can't even bring a bottle of water on the plane with me or a pair of toenail clippers. Okay? I am absolutely no threat at all. And they know who I am, by the way. They know exactly who I am, but because I will not bow the knee and take the number and recite it back to them in one mode or fashion, I am banned. It's an inquisition. It's just like the inquisitions of past. It is. It's nothing else. Why can't I get on a plane? I'm no threat. Really? They've proven that, or, you know, why would they have to pat me down and all that stuff to no avail? It means nothing if they're not going to let me on anyway. So all that patting down and stuff, that's, you know, only if you bow the knee to their covetous socialism can you get on a plane now. That's very inquisitional. It's like, you know, bow the knee or no privileges for you. They've taken my right to travel by aeroplane and they've converted it into a privilege only for socialists who bow the knee to socialism, to covetousness, to the Antichrist government. Because socialism, communism, is the Antichrist government. They wrote all about it. Caritas in Veritate, yeah. That's it. Just ask socialist Jesuit Pope Francis. You know, it's their government. I mean, you know, Pol Pot, Stalin, Hitler, they were all the Pope's guys. Come on, man. They were all Jesuit trained. Every single one of them. Everything that's going on in America now, it's all Jesuit intrigue. It's all shadow government intrigue. And see, they can allow me to say that in America. So they can keep their illusion. I mean, I got a name like First Amendment Radio. They trample on me. Well, I guess who would notice? You know, would really anybody notice? And come over and trample on me, throw me in prison, poison me, kill me, or whatever. And nobody would notice now. Then what difference does it make? You know, that perhaps if they make a wave, because see, they can't predict everything. And they know what happens when they martyr someone, that people will take notice. And perhaps they don't want people noticing what I've been doing through First Amendment Radio and Prophecy Reality over here. So they kind of just leave me alone. They've shadow banned me. Now, there's just a few nuts over there. Don't bother with that. You know, look at, he believes the papacy is a seat of the Antichrist, the man of sin, and the Catholic Church is the great apostasy. That's so funny. You know, that little old man, he ain't no Antichrist. The Catholic Church doesn't rule the world. Come on, that's a joke, man. You can't believe that nonsense. Pay no attention to that. Don't look into that. History doesn't matter. The history of the church, true history, doesn't matter. You know, we can go back only 200 years for prophecy. We can't look at what Martin Luther really believed and said about it. We got to whitewash it on the 500th anniversary. We got to let the Pope into a Lutheran church in Germany at Wittenberg. And we got to let the Pope whitewash it. Oh, Martin Luther, he accomplished what he set out to accomplish. The protest is over. Take it from the mouth of the vicar of Christ himself. Because that's what he said in 2017. Martin Luther, nice guy. He accomplished the Reformation. The protest is over. Pay no attention to that. It's all over. And there was one brave woman who stood up in that congregation and started shouting, Antichrist! Antichrist! Oh, there's always one nut in the bunch, isn't there? Yeah. Well, here's another one over here. And there's just a few of us nuts out here, but people know it's death. I mean, someone put in a universal church of God out there because, you know, they're right about the rapture. But they're wrong about everything else. Their theology is all screwed up. The Antichrist, let them get rich. You know, it's like the Seventh-day Adventists. They pretend to be historicists, but they're not. They're futurists too. They're speculationists. You know, they're just have their stupid speculations like, you know, the great disappointment. That was their greatest disappointment, speculation. It's, oh no. We were right about the date. We were just wrong about the event. It's really, we speculate that that event was fulfilled in heaven. Yes, Jesus came back in heaven and started the great, what do they call it? The cleansing of the temple in heaven. Yeah. And so they speculate that the prophecy was fulfilled in heaven. That's even worse. You know, at least the futurists say, well, it's going to happen in the future. Our speculations are still out there in the future. They're claiming that their prophecies were fulfilled in heaven. where nobody can ever, verify them. Nobody can verify what hasn't happened yet, like the future either. So they're no different. And then they have all their, apostasy and, what do they call it? The investigative judgment. Yeah, Jesus didn't really finish it. He's finishing the work now. When he said it was finished, it wasn't really finished. He had to come back in 1844 in heaven and start his investigative judgment. It was going to take a long time for God, for Jesus to do all that judging, but investigating that he's got to do. Really? You get a fall for that? Yeah, that's pretty bad stuff, man. I call that the transubstantiation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's their transubstantiation. Yeah. So plus now they've officially, made amends with the Pope, because when he said the protest is over, it must be. Yeah, we got our transubstantiation too. We have our investigative judgment. It must be over. The protest is over. Yeah. And when they build that temple in Jerusalem, read my book. When the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. It will begin. That's right. 7 years go by and none of the raptures are going to happen. Pre, mid, post, none of them are going to happen. And at the end, the papacy is going to stand up and go, see, we're right all along. We are post-millennial, amillennial, or whatever. Jesus ain't coming back. He's ruling through us. I am the vicar of Christ. That's what he's going to say at the end of your 7-year tribulation fantasy, your 7-year tribulation deception. That's what the papacy, and you're going to bow down and worship him. Unless you're elect, then you're going to see the scales are going to fall off your eyes and you're going to repent in sackcloth as in ashes, and you may pay with your life. I may pay with my life. Yeah. That's what we have to look forward to in this life. That's why we need to keep our eye on the prize, the true prize, and that is beyond the grave. That's where our hope is, in the resurrection, not in some rapture fantasy, not in the treasures and all of the good things, because this life has a lot of good things. Enjoy them. Enjoy the good things in your life. But they're not the treasure. They're just a glimpse. They are a mere shadow of the true treasure, the true prize that all of the elect are after. Enjoy the good things in this life. Enjoy good times with your family. Enjoy a good meal. Enjoy your babies and your grandchildren. But realize this is just a shadow. And if you lose eternal life, and if they don't come with you, those babies, those grandchildren, my grown-up children, I want them there, beyond the grave, in eternity, in the resurrection, with me. I don't want them dead. I don't want them to miss it. So it's important for me to tell them and to tell you and everyone else about the good news and the true gospel and what we're really after. What is most important in this life is beyond the grave. It isn't here. All of these things that you're working so hard for, are you working for things in this life? Are you working for God's kingdom? Are you storing up treasures here or beyond the grave, in eternity, in the resurrection? If it's not beyond the grave, if it's not, you're going to lose it all. I'm going to lose all of this stuff around me. All of it will be gone, and it's deteriorating before my eyes. I have to get new stuff if I'm going to stick around. I got to get new shoes and new clothes, and I got to repaint the rooms and, get new cushions and new sheets and, gotta renovate the whatever stops working and, gotta get a new refrigerator and a new automobile. You always gotta do that. You gotta take care of it and wash it and clean it and scrub it and repair it. And you gotta fight to keep it up from going down into the earth. And you got to take care of yourself too. I got to fight to keep healthy, man. I'm 66 years here and fighting to keep healthy so I can stay here longer and work in God's kingdom longer. I only get to do this once. That's one thing about all these raptures. Oh, I want Jesus to come today. We're going to be raptured away. Well, no, Jesus is going to come when he comes. The resurrection is going to happen when it happens. I want to stay here as long as I can. If he comes next year, fine. If he comes in 30 years, I'm going to take care of myself and work until then if I can. I only get to do this once. So I'm going to do it with all my might, and I'm going to work in his kingdom, and it's not easy. It's hard. The tribulation of these days is great. It's like the Bible says. But it's fine. He will sustain me. He will complete the work that he's begun in me. He will carry me to the end. And no matter what kind of death I die, cause I don't know, I would rather be martyred than die an old man in my bed or suffering from some horrible disease because I didn't take care of myself and I paid no attention to God's word and his warnings. And I was careless with my health. I would rather be martyred, you know, and I would rather die fighting for Christ. You know, so if the martyrdoms are going to come, I know they can come. I've read history. Those people suffered terrible things. Because when people imagine the 7-year tribulation and all of the calamity of the entire book of Revelation happening in that little period of time, they go, oh God, I don't want to live through that. Please rapture me out. Take me away. But when you realize all those things happened in history and those people suffered terrible things, the unimaginable horrors. You can't really suffer anything more horrible than has already been suffered by countless others. And you just have to realize that it doesn't matter whatever you have to suffer, that God will bring you through it. It's good to suffer. It's good to have pain. I've suffered pain in my life. I've lived years with pain. God healed me from that pain. He took it away from me because I thought it was needless pain and I suffered a long time for it. I know what suffering. I know what chronic pain is. I've had it. And it's just a taste of what I could suffer for Christ. But I know that I can bear it because he will give me the strength to bear it to the most horrible things. Cause I've read about it in the history books, what men suffered. And I saw that someone got to a point where they felt nothing, no pain anymore. It was like, who was it? Andrew in the book of Acts? Was it Andrew? Well, I forget exactly who, but he saw the heavens opened up, and while they were stoning him, he wasn't there in that body. He was like in between, man. He was seeing something else. He wasn't feeling the pain that he was leaving behind. He was seeing what was ahead of him. So I know I can suffer. I can endure any suffering that Christ will hold me through it. He will keep me. So that I will attain that prize, because that's where I'll keep my eyes, fix my eyes on that prize, no matter what happens. And I have that post on my website. What year is it? Go through that. And I've come to the conclusion that about the year 2055 is about the end of the sixth and the beginning of the seventh millennium. So I hope to stick around to then. And no matter what happens, whether I'm right or wrong, when the resurrection comes, I hope to see you there, along with all of my loved ones and my grandchildren, and as many as have ever heard my voice. I hope to see you all there. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you walk on the narrow way that leads to life.